Note the Vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K26. It's myself, Mo Mootsie, alongside me as always, the legendary coach, Brendan Sir. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mo. A great week of NBA ball, and I'm looking forward to discussing it with you.
Yes, sir. I'm jealous of you out there over in the States where it's still pretty sunny. Over here, it's freezing cold. And even though it's freezing cold, the one thing keeping me warm is I'm on fire on NBA 2K26 right now. I'm in that rec center on 2K, just absolutely lighting up. You guys, if you don't yet have NBA 2K26, you need to make sure you get your copy. It'll be linked in the description. Season 2 is in full flow. You've got to get grinding, get your cap breaker so you can level up your player even more. You've got the My Team mode over there as well. So NBA 2K26 is what's keeping me going while I wait for the games to begin at around midnight, usually in the UK.
I think some of the teams, instead of practicing, should probably play NBA 2K. They might have a better chance of winning some of these
teams. I agree. Looking at the Eastern Conference, I definitely agree. But someone who looks like they're from NBA 2K, but they're in reality. In fact, there's two guys, right? If you talk about players in the NBA that are like video game players, obviously Victor Wembanyama, who we speak about a whole bunch, right?
Love
he
him.
Is made in NBA 2K and brought to reality. 7'4", 7'5" guy that can shoot the three ball, handle the ball, do everything all around. But another player, the man who truly broke NBA 2K back in 2016, they had to readapt their whole shooting mechanism, is Stephen Curry, who at this stage of his career, what's he now, 37 years old?
37 last week. Yep,
absolutely. Happy birthday, Steph. He is still lighting it up. He's averaging 29 points a night, sixth in the NBA, with two statement performances against Victor Wembanyama and the Spurs in this past week. Coach, talk to me about the chef. What's going on here?
Well, I think what's really incredible is they got annihilated in OKC last week, national television, and the next night they went in and beat San Antonio in San Antonio, and he just lit it up.
44.
Stayed there, day off, came back. I would have thought San Antonio would have really had an answer for him because they have an excellent coaching staff, with maybe the best defensive coordinator, Sean Sweeney, in the NBA. And the guy goes for another 45-plus.
Mm-hmm.
So that was remarkable for me. But it shows you, when you have three Hall of Famers who are very serious guys about winning, they really did.
I don't know if Jimmy's going to make the Hall of Fame, but I got Al making the Hall of Fame for sure.
Oh, well, Jimmy's definitely in the Hall of Fame. Jimmy's definitely going to be in there. And Al Horford for college and pro. Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Two-time champion. Just a Hall of Fame teammate. And a coach that's a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
First. So they have a lot of great, but those guys were very upset the way they played. And that's what happened. Good teams never forget, Mo. And they went in there it was a business trip. And that's what's really impressive. They're undefeated at home. They had not been doing well at home. Now they were 1-6, I think, going into San Antonio. Tonight, on Sunday night, actually last night, they're playing it in New Orleans. So that'll be an interesting test for them.
Yeah, the Warriors are clicking on all cylinders right now. Do you think at this stage of his career, Steph Curry could still win the MVP award? You know, if we see the Warriors finish maybe as a top four seed out west, could he get his hat in the ring?
Well, you know, I would say no, because he's an American kid. Because I just I just think the award should be maybe for an American player, yes. But I just think, you know, The guys that are just competing and scoring at amazing things. I mean, when you think at Luka just scoring at almost 35 a game, and Giannis is at 32.5 points a game, SGA another 32.5, and then let's put it this way, he's a first team Hall of Famer, first team All Pro player.
I think the other guys are doing it all round in terms of assists, rebounds, and other categories, whereas Steph's just focused here on scoring at this stage of his career.
Yes, but his owner last week, Mo, which is an amazing statement from an owner to say about his player, but I understand it. He thinks that Steph has a chance to be like Tom Brady in our football, in that who played till 45, that he thinks Steph could play into his 40s, which, you know, there's only one guy, you know, really. I mean, Kareem played, but, you know, LeBron is doing this miracle right now. But, you know, guys like Steph and LeBron, they take such good care of himself. And Steph is just incredible like that. And, you know, I think it would be amazing. And I'll tell you what, the league would love him around for a couple more years. Oh,
absolutely. Well, hopefully for Joe Lacob, the owner of the Warriors, he doesn't do a Tom Brady and leave his franchise for his final few years. But the big news around Steph leaving was him leaving Under Armour this week. That was a big story.
Shocker. I don't know the ins and outs other than the little I know is that most of his compensation was in stock. Mm-hmm. Equity in the company and their stock has gone in the tank.
Absolutely. The stock has been terrible for about 4 years now. So he looked at it and he said, it's time to cash out. And what's interesting about Stephen Curry is he has the equivalent of what Michael Jordan had. So Jordan has brand Jordan under the Nike umbrella. Steph has the Curry brand under the Under Armour umbrella. So he's now able to leave and he owns all the copyright, all the IP for the Curry brand, and he's able to take that where he wants. Now, a lot of people are talking about him wearing Kobe's, the Nike sneaker, in the warm-up before San Antonio. The reason why he still changed and wore his Under Armours during the game is because the Under Armour sneakers, when you have a signature shoe, you don't wear the ones that they sell in stores. You have a mold of your foot that they've built the shoe around. So they're custom for him. So he probably will wear Under Armour for the foreseeable future because those are the custom made game ones for him.
Yeah. And if he's like any normal athlete, when you score 40 something the night before, I'm not changing anything.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, so
yeah,
but he's very comfortable in that shoe and it performs, as you said, it's a great performance shoe for him.
Yeah,
and
because so, it was custom made for him. So usually with sneakers, you have a layer of foam and then you have a rubber outsole to give you the traction on the court. What Under Armour did for him, I believe in 2016, they developed a type of foam that didn't require a rubber outsole. So if you look at the bottom of some of his shoes, they're fully foam, which allows him to get his shots off marginally quicker. I think it sped his shot up by 0.3 seconds, which in the NBA can make a whole world of difference. So those shoes are made for Steph and tailored around his game. He was involved in the design process of them. Now, the questions that fans have is he going to join Nike? And I have to say, with my experience in the sneaker world, if you guys don't know, I work quite closely with sneaker brands and I have done for a number of years now. I don't believe that he would join Nike. The reasons being is he has his own brand. He has the Curry brand. So anyone who signs Steph Curry has to sign the Curry brand. And Nike have the Jordan brand. They haven't given LeBron his own brand under the Nike umbrella. Sure. I don't see them bringing in Steph, one of LeBron's rivals, and giving him his brand under Nike before they give LeBron the King brand or whatever they want to call it, right? So that's the first reason. Second reason is these brands are all about signing young players and telling their stories throughout their career. That's why they signed Zion Williamson to Jordan Brand. They signed Luka Doncic to Jordan Brand. They signed Ja Morant to Nike. They want to get them as early as possible. Like you see Cooper Flagg with New Balance. Then they want to be with them and be alongside them throughout their entire careers. It's quite late for Steph to be joining a big brand like Nike or Adidas. However, I would love it if he did, because if you could sync up Steph, KD, and LeBron retiring all in the same year, and you did a pack of sneakers that celebrate all of their careers, and you did special editions, so on and so forth, and the commercials would be amazing featuring those three. You know, three icons of a generation. Everyone who's grown up in this generation either worships LeBron, Steph, or KD. Those are the three guys for all of them. I would love it if they could, but I don't think they can. What I would do if I was Stephen Curry is I would try and attract, you know, he's based out in San Francisco, it's near Silicon Valley. I'll try and get some of this venture capital money and I would get one of these billionaires to invest in the Curry brand. The reason being is what he does in basketball, he stands alone as the greatest shooter of all time. You know, the kids love Steph Curry. They all want to play like Steph Curry. They can't play like LeBron. You know, not every kid is going to be 6'9 and move like a freight train going down the rim. But every kid growing up thinks that they can play like Steph Curry because everyone can shoot a jump shot. So he has the popularity amongst the youth. You know, when you look at what kids wear, a lot of kids wear Under Armour compared to other brands. So you have that, but you also have his insane golfing abilities. I seen a video of him scoring a hole in one. You know, me and Scott were talking about this on the show last year. He's a great golfer. Mm-hmm. Now, if you were to invest in the Curry brand, you can have a basketball line. You can then have a golfing line and you can build that out from there and build the Curry brand. It's not going to compete with the likes of Nike or Adidas. However, there is still a market and I believe there are people who would go out there and still purchase his stuff. And we've seen something similar with Tiger Woods leaving Nike, partnering with Sunday Red. to have his own line over with them. That's why I see that being the best way for Steph getting this done, because to develop a signature shoe with a new brand would take a long time. Another option he has, which speeds up that timeline, is partnering with a Chinese brand, because their manufacturing times are significantly lower than American brands, or, well, Adidas is like a German brand and so on and so forth. But the Chinese brands such as Anta, who signed Klay Thompson, one of Steph's good friends, and Jimmy Butler, who I believe is with Li Ning, who has Dwayne Wade with his own brand under the Li Ning umbrella. Those organizations could produce a signature Steph Curry sneaker quicker than a Nike, Adidas, Puma, so on and so forth. However, I think he should just rock the Curry brand from here on out. You know, I think he should try and buy that technology that Under Armour developed for him. They should buy the IP for that off of Under Armour, because if they're not going to be producing basketball shoes anymore, there's no need. And he's already got athletes signed under him. He had these amazing performances against the Spurs. You got to remember, De'Aaron Fox is a Curry brand athlete. He's not an Under Armour athlete. He's a Curry brand athlete. So that's the route I would go down if I was Stephen Curry. Thank you for listening to my TED talk about the sneaker industry. I love talking about it. So if you guys want to hear more, let me know in the comments.
Yeah, and I agree. And I tell you what, that was educational for me. And so I am not going to add anything to it other than Steph Curry is one of the smartest young men we have playing professionally. He understands business. He is a billionaire now because of everything that he's done off the court. He's done some beautiful things. His dad is just incredible man. So he's grown up around this game. He's very sharp. He's got really good people handling him right now. And partnering with him, not handling him. No one handles a guy like Steph.
He's not got, but he's got CIA great agents handling.
He's got great partners, and so I think they're probably listening to this right now, Mo, and they'll probably be calling you. I
hope they are.
I'll give them your number. Okay.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. That would be a dream come true. But let's talk more about what's going on around the NBA. We mentioned them last week, but I feel like we still have to talk about them again. Who would have thought that for another week, the Detroit Pistons reign supreme in the Eastern Conference, 11-2, on a 9-game win streak, Coach? How about that? Just 2 years ago, they were setting a record for a 28-game losing streak, and how the tables have turned.
Yeah, and it's great. I'm happy for J.B. Bickerstaff. I'm happy for my alma mater, the Pistons, because it was embarrassing for all of us that were champions there to have what had happened. But, I'm really, really happy for them. And the thing that makes this streak very, very intriguing is that they basically played without their starting five the last two games. And that is amazing because Cade Cunningham was incredible, has been, an all-pro player for them thus far this year, has really put himself as one of the really legit stars in our league.
I'm putting him in the MVP conversation. I'm putting him in there.
Yeah, I think right now, because you don't know what's going to happen, God forbid, with injuries and stuff, I think you got to have eight guys in there, and he's certainly up on that list, and irregardless of records, I just look at players the way they perform. The most valuable player on the on their team that helps them in the league, Lauri Markkanen on Utah, is by far an MVP on that team and really keeps them with their head somewhat above water. But I'll tell you what, Cade is incredible, worthy of the number one pick a couple of years ago when a lot of people questioned it, and I'm just happy for him. And the other one is a kid like Maxey, that is just, him and BJ Edgecombe are just carrying Philly, with what they average and stuff like that.
I want to talk about Cade because Cade illustrates a point that I would like to make. Okay. Cade Cunningham earlier this week had a 46-point triple-double. Okay, in an overtime win against the Washington Wizards, he had 46 points, 11 assists, 2 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 5 steals. An insane stat line. And, I was talking about this on Twitter, and a lot of people were like, well, he took 45 shots to get 46 points. That's not efficient. No. Okay, here's the thing. You have to watch the games, and you have to be aware of the context around the games. That game against the Wizards was their third game in 4 nights. They had 6 of their rotation players out injured. There was 3 guys from the G League who were called up that were playing significant minutes. Sometimes as a leader of a team, an MVP candidate, whatever you want to call it, you have to take all of the shots because it's the only way. And they were down double digits in that game. They came back in the fourth quarter. You have to be aware of the context. And I'm so tired of fans looking at a box score and making their judgments on the game around that. You're telling me that Cade had a bad game because he took 45 shots in 45 minutes to get 46 points. I'm telling you, if he doesn't take every single one of those 45 points, they don't win that game. He did what was necessary to put his team in a position to win, and that win built momentum, and now they sit on a 9-game win streak despite him missing the games after that.
I think he also got 18 free throws in that game.
16 of 18 from the line.
Which is incredible. Any player that can draw that, which means anytime any of those that were a two-shot foul don't even count as a shot attempt. So people don't understand how hard it is to get a shot off, one shot off in an NBA game. Yep. It's not easy. You have to really be good to get a shot off, let alone 45 or 46 of them, and really way over 50 shots, including the times he got fouled. That shows you his greatness. But I'm about guys like you, Mo, to compete. And that's what he did. You got to sometimes will your teams to a win. And that's what he did. And that's why he's a gamer. But I'm really happy for the way this team is finding a way and believing they can win any night out. That's a big step for any club.
Should we stay talking about the Eastern Conference here? Because sure. You had a few things in the standings that have caught your eye. Let's talk about the number two team, the New York Knicks, who I called the game against the Heat on Friday night, the NBA Cup game. An interesting game down to the start of the fourth. It was neck and neck, and then there was a collapse by the Heat for the first few minutes where the Knicks just ran away with it. But they are 8-4, second in the East. Yet to win a game on the road. They've played 9 of their games at home, 3 on the road, and they've lost all 3 on the road. Does that concern you?
Very much so. You know, I don't know. I'm really surprised with the arena. Having worked in with the Knicks and coached in, front office, really concerned because I know that arena, that building so well. It's really from a vantage point of everyone wants to perform there. We have, an NHL team. We have unbelievable concerts. I'm shocked that they put so many home games into the month of November and October. So unusual, which means to me, they have some big show coming in. You know, we used to have the circus month of March and April, which would be there for like 3 or 4 weeks. We used to have ice capades and Disney shows that would stay there for a week. Something's coming in there. That's going to send them on a road for 5 or 6 days. And if they're not playing well, they're going to be back to almost a 500 team. So it is concerning. And I'm really concerned, more importantly, about that. You know, these are really good players and a really good coach. More concerned about Jalen Brunson's injury, the ankle injury to the same ankle he hurt last year. Well, that's my biggest concern.
Christmas Spectacular starring the Radio City Rockettes, taking up a whole bunch of scheduling in Madison Square Garden over December.
And so, see, we own Mr. Dolan and MSG. We own Radio City Music Hall where the Rockettes perform. But to put them in a 19,000 seat arena, that's a big show.
Man, I'm looking at the Madison Square schedule now. They got shows almost every night. So I don't know anything about them.
I think last night they had a UFC fight, which is always 20,000 people, So it's a great venue. And it's the world's most famous arenas, but it's amazing what they've done to the schedule. So that'll be something to see. And Toronto, Mo, my goodness, what a job Darko is doing with that squad. My Serbian friend, he's someone I've been friends with since he came over. He worked for Billy Donovan. He's just an amazing coach. He's a great person. And he and his staff have put together
It's the opposite of the Knicks. They're 2-2 at home, but they're 6-3 on the road.
Yeah. And to win on the road when you're in Canada, every trip is a monster. And I know, having worked with the Raptors, that, every day as a U.S. citizen that you're working in Toronto or in Toronto, you're taxed. So they just went on to play these road games. They stayed on the road for 11 days, even though they had several days off between games. They stayed out of Canada to not get taxed Canadian-wise. So to go out there and have impressive wins, what they did to Cleveland the other night, and then go in and beat Indiana Very impressive.
Well, I mean, Indiana are 1-12. That's not a huge but achievement.
But a fairly close game. But then all of a sudden to open it up to 26 points.
Yep.
They're a young team still, Mo, and so you know. And when you get on the road, it's tough to keep your focus. I'm really impressed by what Darko's doing. And the thing they have is, I think they had last night again 7 guys in double figures. That's what I love
Scottie
about
Barnes
the team.
Putting up some crazy stat lines.
And the kid they got from the Pelicans, that's Brandon Ingram. That mm-hmm. you know, he's the you know, every night the kid's almost leading them in scoring. RJ Barrett, Quigley, they got a lot. And, you know, if Proto can make some foul shots, he'll be up. You know, I mean, I think he was 6-for-14 last night for the free throw line. But he, you know, they have a really good team and really well coached, and they're one of the real teams in the league now that's gone to a really. Like Indiana last year went to pressure defense. These guys have kind of taken pressure defense to another level in that every time down the court, they deny every pass. Their hands are all over you. I really like their team. They go 9 deep. They're really good.
How about it? The Nets, Wizards, and Pacers have combined for 3 wins so far. 1-11, 1-11, and 1-12. Who's going to win the race to that number one pick?
Oh, they're fighting it out, baby. I didn't think they'd start this early with 70 games to go.
The tank is in full force.
Well, no, I'm going to be honest with you. They're not. None of these teams is tanking. Indiana's got no. Absolutely
obviously
not.
Obviously, Indiana's without Haliburton, they
have 4. I think it's 4 starters out on the Pacers, and so they're being hit every which way. You know, they have. Really have no guard play. It's really tough to be in the 7th game in the finals and then all of a sudden have this. It's really difficult to coach like that. You know, but I think Washington, they've lost 10 games in a row. They got some good young players. They got some veteran guys they brought in for stability. Brooklyn's the only team that was not built to win this year. And they're not. But boy, they got a shitload of draft choices. Okay. And if they make the right picks, now they picked 5 freaking rookies, which I don't agree with. They got too many young kids.
Horrible draft night for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah. You just can't win in that. I'm hesitant to take 5 rookies to the summer league, you know,
and they traded for Michael Porter Jr.
Well, you know, Michael's performing well, the head coach Jordy, you know, he knew him. He had coached him in Denver, and they did not want to pay properly Cam Johnson because he was their leading scorer because he made the most shots. Cam Johnson's, he's out now for Denver, but he's a good player. He's a good shooter. He's not a starter in this league, in my opinion.
You don't think so?
No, he's a 6th man, I think, you know, 6th, 7th man, like he was in Phoenix.
You know, speaking of some of these teams at the bottom of the standings, we have to talk about the New Orleans Pelicans, currently 2-10. And they started the season 0-6. The first team in NBA history to lose 3 of their first 6 games by at least 30 points. They allowed 120 points in 5 straight games to begin a season. How about that?
Consistency.
Consistency. I guess they get that. But that was enough to get Willie Green fired, who has been replaced by assistant coach James Borrego, who's got experience as a head coach. What do you make of this? You know, it's your expertise, it's coaching. So,
having worked for Joe Dumars in Detroit when he became president of the team and I was a GM, Joe he's a champion. And, you know, he had no choice. You have no choice. No one came. They played the Lakers on Friday night, I believe. Friday night, they played the Lakers in New Orleans. Anytime the Lakers come to town, it's a sellout, you know. And you buy your tickets before you know LeBron's going to be out with, you know, the season.
Yeah, and you still got Luka there.
And you got Luka, you got the other guys. And the arena wasn't even half full. Right now, they're the lowest revenue team in the league.
This is what I said, you know, like you're talking about fans buying tickets before they knew LeBron was out. This is why you don't know who's going to be healthy for the Pelicans. Like, if you want to buy a season ticket 100%. And you know your star player, and this goes back not just Zion Williamson, this goes back to like Anthony Davis was there as well. Like, they've always had bad luck with injuries. I don't know who's on the medical staff. We did an episode with Joe, and that was the first question I asked. I said, Joe, what's going on with the medical staff over there? They fired the head coach, but I think those team doctors need to be looked at.
Yeah, they actually replaced the medical staff, I think, about 2 years ago when they brought in the medical staff when David Griffin got the job. Then they replaced them because of Zion's injuries. Well, I'm not sure that maybe it was that guy's fault. Sometimes you just have bad players injury-wise. Right now, Willie Green won 23 of his last 100 games, which is,
wow.
I mean, and the next stat I would like to see is how many times did you have everyone suited up to play? And I would probably say less than five.
I would say never. For a fully healthy roster, I don't think I've seen it.
He has not had his starting five together, I believe, in 2 years. So, I mean, so it's unfortunate. Borrego, as you mentioned, been the head coach of Charlotte. He's an experienced assistant. He was been the head coach as an interim in Orlando when I was down there living. And, you know, James is a good basketball guy. He's a good offensive coach.
Do you think he will stay permanently, or do you think they're looking at other candidates?
Oh, I think you better be wide open in the search.
Who I would like to see there?
Okay.
I would like to see Mike Malone there. I think with what he did with Jokic in Denver, not saying Derek Queen is ever going to be as good as Jokic, but I like how the big fella plays, and I think it would be an interesting experiment to see Mike Malone over there.
Well, Joe Dumars and I worked with his dad, Brendan Malone, and so he knows Michael well. And the great advantage that Joe has is that having been the number one basketball guy in the NBA for years, and a GM for many, many years, is that he knows everyone in this league personnel-wise. So there's a lot of good candidates. New Orleans is an intriguing city. And Michael Malone was there as an assistant to Monty Williams, I believe.
So well, you, way back Chris Paul days.
Yes. So you got to know the city to match up with the person. So that'll be interesting to see. And Joe is a Louisiana person. He's got a great vibe for Louisiana.
Well, what I love about the Pelicans, I like Fears and I like Queen, the two rookies that they drafted. A lot of people question
excellent draft choice.
They're great, great selections. Fears has been showing lots of sign of promise, and Derek Queen, the Big Easy, as they now call him, has been simply fantastic. It brings about a question, though, Coach, because Derek Queen and Zion Williamson occupy the same space on the court. They play the same position. Is it now finally going to be time that the Pelicans move on from Zion Williamson, and do you think they should do so?
Well, I think the biggest thing is you can't move Zion until he's back on the court.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, because I found out in this league, if you acquire a player that is injured or going to be injured, that's when you go.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you're getting fired.
Harrison.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't thinking of him, but when that happens, you're in trouble, because it's not like an injury that happens. A guy comes in, tears his ACL, and he's never had a knee problem. That's one thing. But if you've had injuries for your entire career, and now all of a sudden you say, let's acquire him. Why? I think he's going to be healthy with us, and he's not. That's when you're gone. So I think it's a real risk. Yeah. But he's a top five talent in our league. You know, Zion Williamson, when healthy, is one of the top five performers in this league. So I think it's something that it's a tempting thing. If you want to unload someone you don't like, you unload someone that I think it's one of those things. Every player in this league is tradable, even when you don't think they are. Yep. Everyone's tradable.
Yep. There's no such thing as an untradable contract in the NBA. But talking about trades and teams struggling, we haven't yet talked about the Ja Morant situation over there in Memphis. You know, we had a lot of animosity from Ja recently. The Grizzlies are 4-10, sitting in 12th place in the Western Conference. And what's crazy to me, right, is just a few years ago, people were talking about Memphis being set up for a dynasty with Ja Morant, with Jaren Jackson Jr., with all the other young pieces that they had. They had Desmond Bane over there. And now they're struggling and people are talking about blowing it up. They got a new coach. They got rid of Taylor Jenkins in what was a surprise move last season after he, you know, revamped the offense. The offense, bear in mind, that Miami are getting all the praise for this season. That's what Taylor Jenkins was running. And apparently, I wasn't there, so I don't know. But apparently Ja Morant didn't like it, which ultimately led to the exit of Taylor Jenkins. And Thomas Asalo from Paris Basketball came in as the new head coach. And things don't seem to be going too smoothly between him and the Grizzlies star at the moment.
Well, let me say this. I know a lot about that franchise. I know a lot about the people involved. I know a lot. Taylor Jenkins is a friend. Taylor Jenkins is a terrific coach. The system that they put in last year was one that the management wanted to put in. That was not Taylor's system. That was Noah. That was not
Zach Kleiman and the GM.
No. Excuse me, I'm sorry. That was the system that Miami is running now is not Eric Spoelstra's system or anything like that. That is a system, frankly, that was conceived by Adam LaRoche. Okay. Adam LaRoche was brought in as a very, very high paid basketball player development guy. He's one of the best in the world. They brought in from Paris Basketball, as you mentioned, Thomas Hislop, who played very, very fast. They were going to merge these two systems to have a very dynamic system in the NBA, which is really forward thinking, okay, from Zach Kleiman and ownership standpoint. So Thomas Hislop is, I'm going to say this appropriately, he should be a guest on our show because he is, in my opinion, a hoop genius.
Absolutely.
I think he's really a brilliant coach. Europeans, with you being an exception, have different mentality. All my friends that coach in the EuroLeague basketball have trouble adapting to the NBA with the players because they come from a much stricter, sterner standpoint. They're very direct the way they talk to players. A lot of NBA coaches first coach with their lips on the player's ass by kissing it, okay? So I think Thomas Hislop, from what I can gather, is very direct. And you know what? The truth hurts sometimes. But he's not like that with Ja. He's like that with every guy on the team. Mm-hmm. Okay?
But the superstars in the NBA aren't used to that. You know, their whole life, from growing up, AAU, college, getting to the NBA, everyone wants to be their best friend.
Yeah, and I think now, and that's fine if you are performing at an incredible level. If Jokic last year says, I don't want to play for any of these guys, guess what I'm doing? I'm hiring whoever Jokic wants. Okay? Yeah. Okay. That, because he performs. But Ja, unfortunately, for whatever reasons, he's not been performing. He's not been performing.
Health, but also, his game is just not developed. His rim attempts are going down, well, and he's not made a three-point shot to make up for it.
Well, his shooting percentage is abysmal. Okay? But he's been suspended for many, many times. So he's got to get his whole act together. When he does that and he starts playing both ends of the court, he's never guarded it since he's been in the league. And then we take some input. But right now, he's not a tradable player either. There are not a lot of teams that have interest because the teams that would really like him are all second apron teams who can't acquire him. So now the list goes from about 9 to about 2.
Yep. Do you think that is a real possibility? What is the solution here for the Memphis Grizzlies?
Well, I think they first of all, they need to get healthy. They have been, I never saw a team start the season getting a waiver because they have five players out to start the season. Mm-hmm. It's unheard of. So, Scottie Pippen, who would really be a wonderful pick to get in there, a guy to get in and play, is out like for 2 months. Ty Jerome, their free agent, a great backup in Cleveland, performed incredibly well, runner-up for six-man award, I believe. He hasn't played one game this year. I mean, so they don't have any backcourt help. And they have no centers. Zach Edey has not even been around since the summer with ankle injuries. So, I mean, I feel badly for everyone involved there because the guy can coach. They have a couple of games where they're not competitive. But you know what? He's trying to play a very fast style. Paris Basketball in Europe is the fastest paced team in Europe. And so they're trying to bring that style of play. As we know, our friend that's coaching up, Thiago Splitter, that's coaching up in Portland, was the coach of Paris Basketball. Last year, he took Isolo's place. So I think they're trying to do the right thing, but I found a long time ago, Mo, if you don't have talent, I don't care what style you play, you ain't going to win.
Well, let's stay in the Western Conference, right? Where the Thunder continue to steamroll absolutely everyone despite not being fully healthy. That's, you know, they could just rattle off a few more championships in the next few years.
Remember, I picked them not to win this year. It's I don't even answer any texts from Sam Pressey. 13-1 in the game they lost against Portland. They were up 24 points in the first half. So they have not had their team healthy, and I'm not sure when they're going to have their team healthy to play. Jalen Williams has been out the whole year.
Yep.
And they keep taking turns with guys getting hurt. Lou Dort's coming back tonight. It's been out for a couple of weeks, but you know what? They have a culture. They have a great head coach, and they got Shea.
This team can win 70 plus games this year?
Yes, they could. Yeah, they could. And just because of their culture, but that doesn't mean, and I say this, you got to understand, Mark Daigneault's a dear friend. Sam Presti is also, they're doing everything right. But the only reason I say they might not win it is you get to the playoffs, you don't know who you're matched up with. And all of a sudden, if they happen to play a Denver team that is really all of a sudden better than last year's Denver team, the matchup can beat you. That's the only reason I say that. And having that bullseye on, I'm worried about Shea having to play so many minutes and perform. I think he's almost had over 30 points except every game this year, except maybe one.
Yep.
That's insane. That's insane.
For 30 every game.
Yeah. It's nuts. I mean, I it's amazing. You know, so I love what they're doing. Love what they're doing.
Well, the top three in the West are right where we thought, you know, the Thunder, the Nuggets, the Rockets doing their thing. But the Lakers, how about them? 10-4, fourth in the West with no LeBron James yet.
Yeah. And they've had injuries to Luka and they've had injuries to AR. I tell you what, I think our friend JJ Redick's doing a great job. I think they're playing. I think he'd be the first one to tell you he's a better coach this year than he was last year, and he'll be a better coach next year than he is this year. I think he's a very bright guy, and I think he keeps learning and learning. And now he has when you first coach as a head coach, you don't know exactly what you want to do. And now I think he's moving into where he wants. Plus, when he gets all of his talent there, he'll even know more. You know, he said the other day, he made a great statement. He said, you know what? We have our best transition player hasn't even played this year. And he's right. LeBron James is the best guy they have in transition. So he's going to, you know, I got a call. I have people out in LA, as you know, and they took your recommendation. They put him in the G League. He's been practicing them with 3 days. He gets his first practice with the Lakers today, Monday, and so we'll see what happens. And I'll tell you what, I expect him to play within a couple of days this week.
Well, JJ had a really interesting answer to a question in a press conference recently, which I wanted to just get your thoughts on from a coach's perspective. I'll read you the quote. He said, one of the biggest problems in terms of defense is young teams using modern NBA concepts. The amount of movement and actions that you have to guard on one possession, and then they're playing at a 103, 104, 105 pace. That's really taxing. The formula, I think, works for some teams. For other teams, it's not going to work. Coach, I wanted to get your take on this because everyone talks about the game evolving and so on and so forth, but the players coming into the league are so much younger than they used to be. Is this something you see in the experience you have talking to coaches from around the NBA?
Yeah, this is such a profound statement that he made. U.S. players, and I can't compare it to football over in Europe, but players in the U.S. high school age, they're playing AAU basketball. They're playing 70 games in the summer. They're just running up and down. They're just hooping. There's nothing going on. There's no offense. There's no defense that you would get at the next level in college. Then the really good ones come to college. They play 1 year. We have to dumb it down for them because they have no basketball knowledge. They have talent. And so we give them all the knowledge that a coach knows. We dumb it down to like so basic a level, but they can perform really well and perform better than their peers at the same level. So they still haven't learned a lot about basketball. Now all of a sudden they go and play at the best players in the world. And now all of a sudden I always tell young players when they go in the NBA, when you're 19, 20, 21 years old, no one graduates in the NBA. In college, they graduate in 4 years. They leave sometimes after 1, 2, or 3 years. In the NBA, you got LeBron entering, was he in year 21 or some ridiculous thing?
23.
Russell Westbrook, year 17. These, you know, they have, it's not about money. They love to play. They love to compete. So you, no one graduates. So you're playing against men with Messi. I love Messi. I love Ronaldo. These guys are geniuses. So now all of a sudden they go and play. They know the game inside out. These guys don't even know the terminology. The terminology in any sport is a language unto its own. The coach of the Pelicans speaks a different language than the coach of the Pistons and the Lakers. And everyone has terms that sometimes mean the same thing. But if you play for the Lakers and you play for the Pelicans, the same word means two different things. Mm-hmm. But more importantly, the style of play that's being tried to play in the NBA now is different than the EuroLeague. It's kind of they're trying to beat the defense down the court and score and get a good shot off before the defense gets set. Where in Europe, they kind of really have evolved into a beautiful team system, and they're not trying to play pace and space. So what they're trying to do is get 100 shots a game. That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get 43-point shots a game. EuroLeague, we're not trying to do that. Not at all. Okay? So what's happening now is the key to make that system successful is to learn how to read defense. These kids have no idea how to read defense, the young kids. So it's like they're coming down, they're calling an action, they're doing it, but they don't know what the hell to do after that because they don't know how, they're not experienced enough to read. Where the guys like Luka and different players, Austin Reeves, an undrafted player, he's a veteran. He reads as well as any player in the league. So I think it's really, JJ put it so well. I think the guy is brilliant, and I think he really pointed out something that I had not heard articulated in public before.
Yeah. Well, you know, a coach who's impressed me this season is Jordan Ott of the Phoenix Suns, who are currently sixth in the West, 8-5. You know, a lot of people, including myself, really didn't expect this from the Phoenix Suns. Jordan Ott, who, you know, he started as a student manager at Penn State, then worked his way up to work with Tom Izzo at Michigan State, and then was a video coordinator with the Hawks, then became an assistant coach, went around the league in Brooklyn with our friend Darvin Ham with the Lakers, then with Kenny Atkinson last year. Now he's a head coach over there in Phoenix. I'm loving what they've done in Phoenix. And I think, you know, we just talked about the Grizzlies' downfall. I think an underrated factor is Dylan Brooks. You know, whether you love him or hate him, he was a big part of that Grizzlies culture when they were winning early in Ja Morant's career. Now he's over there with the Phoenix Suns, and they seem to have got a good culture going on there too.
And the Durant trade, which I think they had to do, Phoenix had to do.
Yeah.
They got Brooks, but who else did they get in that trade? Jalen Green, right?
Yep.
Right? And he's been hurt basically all except maybe one game. So I think they do so well. What I've seen as two interesting things. The owner, Matt Ishbia, went and hired another Michigan State guy to be his general manager, Brian Gregory, who had Jordan Ott as a manager for Izzo and him when he was at Michigan State. Mm-hmm. He knew who he was hiring. The culture has changed around. They have very good enthusiasm. There's one star, Booker.
Devin Booker.
There's one star, and he's playing great. Mm-hmm. He's not coming down shooting the ball 30 times. He's playing like a pseudo point guard, but he's scoring 29 points a game, 28 points a game. But I love what they're doing. They have some toughness about them now. They've got two big men now. The kid Malawach, who I love.
I'm a big fan.
Big fan. Great kid. They hardly even use him yet, but when they do, it'll be a big thing. I love what they're doing. I'm excited for Matt Ishbia. He thought he was going to be able to come in and just buy a way to a championship. The NBA salary cap doesn't allow you to do that. Mm-hmm. He's learned a little bit the expensive way, not the hard way, the expensive way. And now he's putting together an organization. I'm happy for him and what they're
Allen
doing.
Grayson Allen is shooting the absolute lights out. I like Ryan Dunn as well. Like they've got a good thing going. I don't think this is a group that will evolve to be in championship, but there's pieces there that you can see moving forwards.
And I think the biggest thing, as you and I have talked about, Mo, on our pre-show, is that, you know, you have to have guys that can assume defined roles and then be a star in them. And I think the guys on their team, they're really starring in the roles based on their ability. And that's what all you want in a player. You and I get pissed off when we watch guys say, you know what, they're not playing hard. That team's not competing. That's when you and I get mad.
What do you think about the Minnesota Timberwolves? They're currently 7th, 8-5. You know, they're a team who has got big aspirations after making conference finals, you know, a couple times. And you expect Ant-Man to make this leap, and you expect the Timberwolves bringing back the same guys from last year to be right up there with the best of the conference. Right now, they're 7th.
I love their talent. I think everyone does. You know, I'm just a little disappointed in kind of the start that they're getting. You watch them one game and you say, whoa, this team's ready to go. Julius Randle, Anthony Edwards, those guys, I mean, they're two of the top 15 players in the league, really, I think, on performance, you know. And then when Gobert does his job,
Randall's top 15. But
he's playing like it though. When he plays like his role,
when he's on, he's on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Physical bully ball.
I mean, you know, I mean, top 20. But I mean, he is this. You know, he's a real star player. He comes, he brings it every night. I love him. And this is the Julius Randle we wanted in New York, frankly, when he was there. And I think, you know, and I think they have excellent coaching on their staff. I don't know. They're losing some games. I just don't get. But this is a team that if you play them in the playoffs, they can whip your butt in round one, or they can get eliminated in round one with a bad matchup the other way for them. If they finish 6th, 7th, or 8th, you can go on the road against a 1, 2, or 3. And you're going to get your butt kicked, you know, so that's what I worry about. I'm a big believer in home court advantage, so I don't like where they're flirting right now. 70 games to go, though.
Absolutely. There is one thing that I forgot to mention earlier.
Uh-oh.
That our good friend, Mr. Darvin Ham, is still undefeated in the NBA Cup. How about that?
Darvin Ham, they're going to what, Emirates the Darvin Ham Trophy. He might become, I mean, the guy is incredible. I love him. I have so many people that listen to our show and they said, Darvin Ham's amazing. Darvin Ham is going to be a head coach this year. I will bet anything on it.
We don't get involved with betting, coach. But
no,
I
no,
like
I didn't.
I know, I'm just messing with you. I'm just messing with you.
Oh, my God.
A
beignet from New Orleans, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Food. Yeah. I only bet food. I never bet money. I don't have any money. I bet food. But, you know, but Darvin Ham's a head coach. He's got presence. He's got toughness. He's got love in his heart.
Really nice having him on the show because most people only see coaches in post-game press conferences. They don't hear from them otherwise. So for people to see another side to a coach and really understand the person.
And let me say this. When I visited our friends in Sacramento, his son, DJ, is an assistant coach with the Kings.
Mm-hmm.
He's a lot little shorter than Darvin, a lot leaner, but man, can this guy coach?
Yeah.
He's brilliant. He's going to be a star. It's definitely in the genes of the family, but Darvin Ham is a superstar and I'm happy. And who do the Darvin Hams play next in the Emirates Cup? Do we know?
Oh, let me look at the NBA Cup schedule.
The Darvin Ham.
So I can prepare my eyes, you know.
We'll call them the Darvin Hams.
The Darvin Ham. So the Bucks' next NBA Cup game is going to be against the Heat on Thursday the 27th, or I guess Wednesday.
Is it down there?
It is in Milwaukee.
Oh, we got another W. Good. Okay. I predict
and
that.
And then the Kings' next NBA Cup game is in Phoenix. On the same night. Oh no, that's in Sacramento.
Okay.
And then the Bucks game is in Miami because Google's put the teams the wrong way around.
Yes. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
And their young lads from Milwaukee, you know, it's a little chilly up there. So they were going to want to get out and express that, see that fresh air.
The fresh. That's, I love the fresh air in Miami, coach.
Yeah, fresh air. I think
Air in LA, and surprisingly, Houston's got great fresh air too.
Yes, but I think it's really going to be interesting. So the Hams could be in trouble against the Heat. That's
We'll see. Well, I've got more faith in the Ham on the Bucks than the one on the Kings right about now. But you know, we're not going to go into that right here because they're sitting at 3-10. So. You know, we just had a nice little whip around the association. Anything else catching your eye while we wrap this one up, Coach?
You know, I try to look, and I'm always looking about. I love the stars in our game, and I look and I see who's scoring, who's performing, and you know, and I'm happy about Maxey. I'm really excited about him. I love Lauri Markkanen, but I'm big on rebounding. I know that's how you win in this league. I think Jokic, I've never seen a guy come out of the gates like this cat. I mean, this guy, if you don't love the game, and if you're a fan in Denver, it's must-see, because when you get a guy like this at about 30 years of age performing like this, I mean, every night, I mean,
he leads the league. Scoring.
He leads the league in assists.
I was going to say, he's eighth in scoring, fifth in field goal percentage, first in assists, and first in rebounds. He's averaging 28.7 points, 13 rebounds, and 10.9 assists a game.
I can't remember in my days in the league, 47 years, where I have seen a center that can really score leading the league over, like, you know, the point guards in this league. Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy is like two assists more than, you know, the other guy. So I love that. I love Uwembe's. I love Wimby. I still got to get him around the hoop a little more. You know, the kid in New York, Karl Anthony Towns, Cat, affectionately known as Cat, he's a stat sheet stuffer. I mean,
that game I called on Friday drove me insane, though, Coach. Should I tell you why? You know, he starts the game missing a couple threes. And I'm like, I'm looking at it, and I'm like, you're being guarded by Andrew Wiggins.
Get your ass inside.
On the block, right?
Yes.
But he keeps shooting the threes. Next thing you know, 36 points in like the first half. And I'm like, well, I guess that told me.
The guy is incredible. And, you know, it shows you that, you know, with Jalen Brunson out, most teams would say, you got an all-pro guy out, they're not going to win the game.
Hey, they got 38 off the bench from Landry Shamet. They got a triple-double off the bench from Josh Hart. And they got 25 from Jordan Clarkson off the bench. How about that?
And Jordan Clarkson has been, they have him actually, and I don't mean this in a bad way, he's actually on milk cartons. He's been missing the whole season.
Yeah, the lowest shot attempts of his career, lowest points of his career, but he's still got the opportunity, started cooking up.
And it's great.
They've done a good job building the depth of that.
Yeah, so team. I mean, I just like what I'm seeing from so many guys. So far, again, it's hard to imagine. You see games every night. We have about 70 games remaining. I love it.
Oh, man. The NBA is beautiful this year. I think the coverage as well on Amazon Prime and NBC, like, it's fantastic. It's celebrating the game. It's positive, giving insights. I'm enjoying the season so much, and it's only going to get better from here on out.
You look good on TV, man. I saw some of those clips. You look pretty dang good.
Oh, coach. Yeah. Listen.
Handsome guy, man.
You've got a long way to go. I'm trying to get to that studio in LA, man. I'm trying to get out there, but we'll see. But I appreciate you. But make sure you guys subscribe to the show, because, you know, the NBA is going to get better and better, and so are we. We've got more special guests in store. We've got more insights from the legendary Coach Sir himself as well. So subscribe, YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts from, and we'll be back on Thursday with another special guest. Until then, get buckets.